which we can have the truth
and have it abundantly in our lives. Father, this day will be as yesterday. We believe that every day is the Lord's day, and every day is resurrection day, and every day is peaceful, and today is going to be like yesterday, but more. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we finally got to the place where I'm ready to make an accusation, a formal accusation against the individual in you who crucifies the truth. The individual who's guilty of murder. And the individual, by the way, that always wants to make war with me because of the fact that he or she is a soldier. And if you remember in Mark 15:16, it says, and the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. The soldiers are the ones, as I said this morning, that actually did the dirty work. They're the ones that did the actual beating, spitting, and nailing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, to the cross. These are the individuals that most of all hate Jesus Christ. They avoid him the most. They avoid the truth the most. There are some that deny, some that doubt, some that run out, and some that sell out, but soldiers hate the truth. Soldiers, above all, hate the truth, Jesus Christ. And the reason that they hate him is because of what he is, and it exposes what they are. Soldiers, if you remember, comes from a Greek word that means a camper, who's also a warrior. And a camper, if you remember, means a person who vacations all the time. It's an individual who wants a vacation or freedom from work and from responsibility. It's a person who lives in the woods and is very happy to do so, by the way. It's a person who doesn't want to bathe or clean or do anything, because in the woods you don't do that. You wait for rain or for a flood, and that takes care of the washing, that takes care of the bathing. And when the area that you're in gets dirty enough, you just move on. These people have no residence. And they like to resort. They like to go out often. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be too thrilled to stay in where you habitate either. And they make war about it, by the way. Conflict. And they led the Lord Jesus Christ into the hall. The yard is open to the wind, the courtyard called Praetorium, where the governor makes his decisions, which is either church or the cave of the winds, depending on which way you're inclined. And in the hall here, you can either confess and accept your responsibility, or go to your own throne room and avoid. I'll not go into great detail on that. Do you have the tapes?
Amen.
You might wish you didn't have them, but you've got them. Verse 17, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Purple means an emblem of royalty or high rank. Yes, Jesus, we love you, but thorns means we got a lot of problems and a lot of reasons why we can't do what you think we ought to do. And by the way, what we're going to do is, rather than thank you for releasing us from our laziness and our piggishness and our lack of responsibility, where we're not going to be, if you're called as a father, I'm not going to be a father. What we're going to do is we're going to thank you for this lack of responsibility by telling you the reasons why you don't work. We're going to tell you why what you believe is no good. We're going to give you obstacles and excuses to justify why we're right and you're wrong. You said we could and we can't. You said we would and we won't. You said we should and we don't want to. There's your honor, Jesus. You're a phony. You and your preacher. Because I did everything he said, and I just don't remember. It doesn't work. So you happen to be a liar. The problem is, though, they still have the problem. So now we go to verse 21, where the whole thing, where we left off this morning. Now these individuals, these soldiers, who have no problem, by the way, who have nothing but excuses as to what's wrong with them, is always somebody else's fault. And this cross they have to bear, they got to do something with it. So now in verse 21, the soldiers, the campers, the warriors, make their big move. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Now, Jesus, I think, put this in here to tell you as a Christian what will happen when you run into the soldiers. They'll compel you. Now, compel means to press into service by force. Well, you're a preacher, you're a Christian, you ought to do this for me. Why? You have to do this. No, I don't. Amen. If you don't have to stop what you're doing, why do I have to help you not stop what you're doing? The fact of the matter is, neither one of us has to. If you had to stop, you would have. If I had to help you, I would have. The fact of the matter is, we all have a free choice. And the fact of the matter is, you don't want to be helped to get out. You want to be helped to justify and continue. So they pressured one Simon, a Cyrenian. Compel means to press into service. To press or to compel to be a courier, a messenger. See, people always try to get me to do that. They'll call me to complain about somebody else. You think I'm going to be your busybody gossip and take your filthy message to somebody else and participate in this thing? You're out of your mind. But why else do you tell me what's wrong with everybody else around you as a justification for you to do what you're doing, soldier? Because you want me to be a courier. You want me to call someone else and say, did you do that? And you shouldn't do that. I'm not your messenger boy. The last time I checked, my shoes didn't have wings on them, and I don't wear a helmet, and I don't deliver flowers, by the way, for you or Merlin Olsen. I'm not your messenger boy. I have a message for you, but I don't have one from you. See, I'm a messenger to you. Not a messenger for you. But these individuals compel Simon, a Cyrenian. And compel means a messenger sent in haste. In other words, every time you get upset, you want me to do something and do it now, quick. You call me emotional and angry and upset. And courier also means a spy carrying secret information. Well, if you have something to tell somebody, you go tell them. And this individual, this compel, means a messenger sent in haste. Haste means hurrying carelessly or recklessly, and in too great a hurry and without enough care. In other words, impetuous people fly off the handle. Let's argue and fight now, and we'll make up later. Compel means to try to bring about something by force. You know something? If what you believed was true, you wouldn't have to back it up. You wouldn't have to force it upon people if what you believed was true. Compel means to bring something about by force, to force someone to do something. See, the truth doesn't need your help to make it work. But a lie does. So every time you get in a compelling mood, when you try to force people with threats and intimidation and dirty looks and anger, you clearly are trying to push a lie. But you see, they pick out a certain individual to compel, to carry their lie. And you hear it all the time. Reuben said. Well, Reuben doesn't need you to say. Reuben's perfectly able to speak for himself. As a matter of fact, he can speak a whole lot better than you can. So I don't need you to say, Reuben says, or in this case, Simon says. So they always use the Christian, the Simon. Well, we need to know what Simon means then, so that we can understand why the soldier always picks Simon to bear the cross. Well, Simon means hearing intelligently. It means one who hears and obeys. It means someone who hears with the intellect and not with the emotions. Someone who reasons. Someone who thinks, speaks, and acts logically. That's what Simon means. So you see, they'll always pick an individual to be the mediator, to use him to force. And sometimes you don't even call me to do it. You just say, Reuben already said so. I already checked with him. You liar. You did call. We did talk, but that's not what I said. See, what you're afraid of is that I'll do my own talking. So what the soldier does, he picks an individual who does hear intelligently. And you know why the soldier needs someone who hears intelligently? Because soldiers only make war with other soldiers. So you see, you've been trying to fight the other individual and make them do what you want to do for years, and it never has worked. Because they have the same problem. They fight back and they don't hear. They just want to make war. So you see, you need someone who hears intelligently to stand in the middle. Then you try to use that in order to force the other individual. And this Simon individual that they compel, as I said, is the one who hears intelligently. But it says also one who passed by coming out of the country. So he not only hears intelligently, but it has a manifestation in his life. He's coming out of the country. Country means the mode of living or the manner of life. It means the way of acting or doing or being. It means personal customary behavior. In other words, he's coming out of the way of acting and the personal behavior that he learned in his own land. That's what country means. It means land to bring forth from a mode of living and a manner of life. In other words, we are like agriculture. We're like crops. As a matter of fact, this word country is agros, where we get the word agriculture. And it means land that you bring forth from a mode of living and a manner of life. It means a way of acting, doing, or being. It means personal, customary behavior. In other words, they need someone who hears intelligently, who's coming out of his own personal way of doing things. This is the individual that they want to compel to bear his cross. But you see, it isn't only Simon coming out of the country, but he's the father of Alexander and Rufus. See, this individual has a lot of characteristics, a lot of qualifications. Number one, he's Simon, hears intelligently. He's coming out of the country, he's changing. He doesn't deal with you according to himself and what he'd like to do, and you ought to thank God. But he's also the father of Alexander.
And you know, really, that's the only reason. If there is an attraction toward me, that would be it. I'm the first individual in your life that doesn't treat you the way you ought to be treated. Because quite frankly, I'm the first individual that didn't treat me the way I ought to be treated. I finally realized that my Christianity, my Father in Heaven, Jesus Christ, meant something more than to sing about on Sunday morning. And when I accepted that for me, it forever released me from bondage to anybody else. So now Simon hears intelligently, and he's coming out of his old habits. It doesn't say came out or is out. He said coming out. So if you're going to waste any time trying to find fault with me, I'm already telling you, I've got it. You just don't know what it is. And you never will, by the way. Why? Because God and I have a deal. He said, son, you confess. Don't be lying to me. And we'll put it as far away as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Now, if God can't remember it and I don't tell you, how are you ever going to find out? Die with festering boils trying to figure it out. It's not going to do you any good. But I will tell you, it's something. As a matter of fact, it might be more than one something. But you'll never know. Now this man who's coming out of the country is the father of Alexander. Alexander means a man defender. Man means, comes from the word mens or mensa, means to think. Menses, it means to think, to reason. In other words, the characteristic about man, God's creation, is that he can think. He's not emotional, he's not instinctual, or shouldn't be. So he says, Alexander is a man defender. In other words, he's a human being who thinks. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that Simon, the one who hears intelligently, the one that learns the word of God, the one that's called to preach to you, can only defend those that think. He's a man defender. Defender means to protect and to keep from harm or danger, to support, maintain, or justify, to act as a lawyer for you when you're accused. That's what defender means. I'm a public defender. But understand what this says. It means a defender of a man. Now, man doesn't mean just a male. It means a human being. But man also means to think, to use the mind. So now, in order for me, as Simon who hears intelligently, to defend you and help you, you got to think. See, and warriors don't think. They just fight and argue and squabble. So why is it that the Word of God has absolutely no effect or little or no effect in your life? Because you refuse to think. And you see, Simon is the father of Alexander. You don't want to be Alexander? I have nothing for you. Nothing. For the simple reason that everything that I have is for the thinking individual. God said, come, let us reason together. And you don't want to reason. You want to fight and argue, and your mind's already made up. You're right, and everybody else is wrong. So you see, this Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander, is the one who bears the cross. And yes, he did bear the cross, by the way. I'm not trying to tell you who he bears the cross for. I'm trying to tell you now who he doesn't bear the cross for. He doesn't bear the cross or defend someone who doesn't think. And incidentally, this individual needs a defender because he's accused. You're accused of a crime. You're a liar, a thief, and a murderer, and you deserve to go to hell. Just like me. But thank God he's also the father of Rufus. Rufus. Would you like to have a son called Rufus? Or you go out there and say, Rufus, and all, every dog in the neighborhood will come and take a chunk out of your leg. Sounds like a challenge, doesn't it? Rufus. Well, what does Rufus mean? Well, you see, the man defender, the Alexander, is the thinking man who needs some defense. He needs a lawyer. For what? For being a Rufus. Rufus means red. A political radical, a revolutionary, a rebel, an angry person, an inflamed person, a sore person. You sound like a pimple. And you are. The slightest little bit of pressure, pop goes the weasel. Rufus. But you know that Rufus also means a Christian? So what does that mean? That means a revolutionary, rebellious, angry individual who became a Christian. And that's all of us. The problem with some of you is you became a Christian and you still want to remain red. You want to do a little of both. But this is telling you who Simon bears the cross for. A man, a human being, who thinks, who's accused of being a revolutionary, a radical, and a sorehead, who's now become a Christian. And he said, this Simon, this individual that hears intelligently, is a father of Alexander and Rufus. Father means two things, father and parent. Father means a male parent, the founder, the inventor, the protector. It means God is the first person of the Trinity, and it means to bring something into being, and then to rear it and protect it, like your children. See, as a father, you bring it into being, you rear and protect. You just don't bring it into being, lover boy, and then forget about rearing and protecting. Then you go on vacation, lover boy, and all you know is, let's do some being. What about rearing and protecting? And I don't have any problem with rearing your children. Just I'll take it and rear them anytime they need rearing. So you see, this Simon is an individual who has to be the father of Alexander and Rufus. But here's your problem. You don't mind Simon being the father as far as bringing you into being, but let's not have any of this rearing and protecting stuff. So you want to treat me and the Lord Jesus Christ and your church just like if you were still home growing up full of snots again. And having your mommy dear and your parents just do the act that created you, that brought you into being, and then turn you loose and let you do whatever you want. It's not going to work here. You need a father. Now understand, you may not want to accept this, I don't care, but I'm telling you a minute, this is the one that bears the cross. Father also means parent. And parent means a father or a mother. Mother means that which nurtures or feeds or takes care of. So you see what this really says is the one that bears the cross is the one who hears intelligently, is coming out of the country and feeds, takes care, protects, and rears an individual who thinks, who's accused of being a rebel, who's now a Christian, and admits it. Very simple, isn't it? Sounds like the perfect scenario for a perfect Christian family, which you do not have one of. In other words, if you want a family to sustain, to function as a family, you need a Simon. And this Simon needs to be coming out of the country, and he needs to be the father of Alexander and Rufus. You see, the problem is there's no Alexander. You don't want to think. You don't want to be Alexander. And you certainly do not want to be accused. You accuse. Now, Rufus, you have no problem with half of Rufus. The red, angry part, the rebellious part. But the Christian part, only when it suits you. And as far as this father business, yes, in terms of bringing you into being. But rearing and protecting you, no way. You know more than I do. Just like you thought you knew more than your parents when you were growing up. And remember they told you, you wait until you grow up and have your own. Your kids are going to treat you just like you treated us. Remember that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And now you are trying to tell me that you're the perfect parent? When you hate your own parents with a passion for what they did to you that you're now doing to your own kids, and your kids are treating you exactly like you treated your parents. Why? Because your parents and you treat your children the same way your parents treated you. That's why. See, your problem is you need a different parent. And the reason that you need this is because Simon, the one who thinks intelligently, who's coming out of the country, who fathers, needs an Alexander and a Rufus. Now, I can't be all of those. I need some help. I'm a little short on Alexanders and Rufuses. Try to say that one without making a mess on your paper. Now, why do I tell you this is so important? Because this is the one that bears his cross. Oh, I know you've been told that this is the individual who went and carried his cross for him because Christ was so weak, you know. And he knew from the foundation of the earth that he was going to be required to carry that cross, but he just didn't make provisions for it. He needed Simon to carry the cross. No, that's not what it says. It says Simon was compelled by the soldiers, not by Christ, to bear his cross. The word bear, it appears in the Bible numerous times. But this particular definition only appears two or three times. So obviously it has a whole different meaning than what you thought it meant. Simon the Cyrenian is the one who's the father of Alexander, who bears his cross, Jesus' cross, bears his cross. Now Jesus carried his own cross. Jesus died on his own cross, but Simon has the function of bearing his cross. Put on your seatbelts now for all you suffering, general hospital, pathetic individuals who were told that we must suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bear. Comes from a Greek word that means to take away, put away, to remove, to lift. So what does this say? This is the man who takes away the cross that Jesus carried. In other words, what does that mean? It means you didn't want you carrying it. See, when you take away and put away and remove and lift, that means that's over. No more carrying of crosses. So bear means to take away, to put away, to remove, to lift, and to expiate sin. You'll know what that means in a minute. But let's take it sequentially. Simon lifts Jesus' cross. See, Satan had a claim, and Jesus paid it, and then Satan puts the cross right back on you, through preachers, by the way. And then we need a Simon to come away and lift the cross. Lift means to pay off a debt and to end a blockade, to loosen and to remove from its proper place. Yeah, the cross does belong on you. He says you want to remove it. See, bear means to remove it from where it belongs. Do you know what I think it means? Put it on Jesus. That's where it, see, where it belongs is on you. He removed it from where it belonged. Didn't belong on Jesus. Jesus didn't sin. You and I did. So you see, by removing the sin, by removing the cross from the one that it did belong on me, put it on Jesus. But how do you do it? Oh, you remove the cross that belongs to you and you put it on somebody else. You understand, this cross bearing doesn't mean you should bend under the, tote that barge and lift that bale. It means you ought to lift it. Well, why are you under such heavy bondage? Because the fact that Jesus Christ paid for each one of you, you're not accepting it. When someone around you does something you don't like, you make them pay. That's why. And see, that's why you're not free from your debt, because you don't accept the shed blood of Jesus Christ as freeing your brothers and sisters. So therefore, if it isn't good enough for them, not good enough for you either. So you're still trying to pay the sin debt. And Simon is trying to tell you we need to lift this cross. And you say, yes, lift it off me, but put it on her. Please, do not tell me my job. Bear means to expiate sin. Hey, this is totally different than what we were taught, wasn't it? We were told that we should suffer, and one day when we get to heaven, after we get there crawling over broken glass full of boils and pimples, then we'll know what it's all about. Boy, that's attractive. Boy, you could sell a lot of people on Christianity that way. How'd you like to have some boils and pimples the rest of your life and crawl over broken glass from now on? Isn't it any wonder people aren't lining up, are they? Simon's job is to expiate sin. Expiate means to make amends for wrongdoing and guilt, to pay the penalty. In other words, by lifting the cross and telling you Jesus already paid for, you make amends for the wrongdoing and your guilt. Now he lifts the cross. Now I'm going to share with you why I can prove to you, you think you're crucifying Jesus. No, you crucify yourself. The word cross that you will not allow me to lift, by the way, means a cross as an instrument of capital punishment. I'm going to share with you now how you suffer capital punishment by refusing to let me lift the cross. Cross means, as I said, an instrument of capital punishment. Capital punishment comes from the word caput, and it means death by decapitation. That's what it meant originally. Capital punishment meant to be killed by having your head cut off. Decapitation. Capital punishment also means penalty of death or having your head cut off for a crime. So see, when you're guilty of a crime, you lose your head. That's what capital punishment means. Can you see what's coming? How long have you known me? I said, don't get emotional. Don't get upset. Don't lose your reasoning. Don't lose your head. Decapitation. There's the cross. Capital punishment. See, this isn't the cross where Jesus went. It means decapitation. It means to cut off the head, to behead, or explicitly to lose one's head. Now, let me see Mr. Perfection and Mrs. Perfection whether you're losing your head. Now, if you're losing your head, you're guilty of a crime. Don't you tell me that Jesus Christ is demanding of you capital punishment and you're innocent. Let's see if you lose your head. Head means the head is the seat of reason, memory, imagination, the mind, the intelligence, the aptitude, and the ability. So now this individual who's guilty loses reason, memory, imagination, mind, intelligence, aptitude, and ability. That's capital punishment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's way of showing you you're guilty as sin. How do I know that? Because you've lost your head. And children always do that because, see, first they give you a bunch of reasons why they're not guilty, and then they have a lapse of memory. And then they start imagining things that are accusing everybody else, and then they get very smart and they tell you different intelligent things why they're right and you're wrong, and then they lose their aptitude and their ability, and finally they say, I can't. Well, they've lost their head, haven't they? Why? Because they're guilty of the crime. You've been crucified. So you see, whenever you go against the truth, you lose your head. I'm telling you, you're not going to crucify Jesus Christ again. He came once as the Lamb, not this time. He's back, by the way. Lives in me and he lives in you. And he's not begging anybody. He's not asking. He's here to tell you. Now, you don't have to do it yet, but he's not asking anymore. Now you have to rebel if you don't want to. So now let's see just how smart you are. Because the very excuses that you use are the ones that are condemning you. So you refuse to let Simon bear his cross. So as a result, you suffer capital punishment, which means, again, you lose your head. Well, let's find out what that means. The seat of reason, memory, imagination, mind, intelligence, aptitude, and ability. The first thing you will lose when you're guilty, you're wrong, you're lying, is you lose your reason. Reason means sound thought or judgment, good sense, and sanity. It's the first thing that goes. You lose your, see, you're being decapitated. You're suffering capital punishment from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Reason means a sound mind. To lose a sound mind. Reason means to think logically. You lose the ability to think logically. Reason means to draw conclusions from facts, not from emotions, not from rumors, not from the past, and not from what you think is going to happen in the future. From facts. And the individual who loses their reason is beginning the suffering of capital punishment. Now I ask you, would a holy and righteous God allow you to suffer capital punishment if you're innocent? somebody's a liar. You've lost your sound thought and your judgment, your good sense and your sanity. Then you lose one. Then to lose one's head means to lose one's memory. Memory means the power of recalling to mind the facts and events previously learned or experienced. See, the minute you lose sound thought and judgment, the minute you think you're suffering because you're innocent, you'll lose your memory. Now, I'm not making these things up. You look them up. Get this tape. Listen to it again. I'll give you the numbers in the concordance. I'll give you the words. If you know the alphabet, you can look it up in the dictionary. You lose your memory. Capital punishment, to lose your head. You lose the power of recalling to mind the facts you previously learned and the experiences that you had. You lose that capacity. That's capital punishment. What you think is that means you didn't do it. So first you lose your reason, and then you lose your memory. And the way you recall things is piecemeal, here and there, just to make you look right. Because you're suffering from capital punishment. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You're a condemned person on death row, just waiting for the last one, and we're going to get there in a minute. This is death I'm talking about. Capital punishment isn't some game we're playing. You're losing your mind, friend. You're psychotic. Now you lose your imagination. You're losing your head now. This is what happens when you're being beheaded. You're being cut off. You lose your imagination. Imagination means the power of forming mental images of what is not actually present, but what has happened. See, you can't form a mental image of something you've never seen and never heard, because the mind is not capable of original thought. All you can do is recall back to mind things you've heard and seen. That's all you can do. That's what imagination is. You can't make something up out of absolutely nothing. Only one can create, God Almighty. The rest of us manufacture. So you see, when you lose your imagination, you lose the power of forming mental images of what's not actually present, but what has happened. See, you're going crazy, in other words. And then you try to argue with me based on what your insane mind is telling you what's wrong, when you're losing your head. And to compound the problem, you don't understand why I don't have a lot of faith in what you're saying. Ichabod Crane was a mental giant compared to you. Remember Ichabod? The headless horseman. You've lost your imagination. You no longer have the power of forming mental images of what isn't present but what has actually happened. You've lost your reason. You've lost your memory. And now you've lost your imagination. Your mind's getting dark. There's darkness taking over. The next characteristic of losing your head is to lose your mind. Mind means the ability to think. It means spirit and force. Mind has three definitions: think, spirit, and force. Mind means seat of consciousness. In other words, you lose the ability to be conscious. You go into semi-conscious, unconscious, semi-conscious, subconscious, and sometimes conscious. In and out. You're losing your mind. Mind also not only means the seat of consciousness, but I can tell you when you're losing your consciousness, because mind also means your attention. You can't focus your attention on this message for the whole hour, and you know it. You're losing your mind. whatever, and then you want me to help you find it. There wasn't much there to begin with. So to lose your mind means to lose your consciousness, to lose the ability to pay attention. Mind means to notice. You lose the ability to notice. So now you have a mind that doesn't take notice, doesn't pay attention, doesn't remember anyway if you could, has no sound reason and judgment. And what do you do when it all comes? That's what you depend on to tell you if you're right or wrong. Boy, are you ever done. But we're not done yet cutting your head off. This is a haircut and a shave like you ain't never had before. I get no respect, right? Now you lose your intelligence. Understand how this works. You lose your reason. You lose your memory. You lose your imagination. You lose your mind, your consciousness. You lose the ability to focus attention. Your mind span becomes like a little child, a little here and a little there. You can't stay put. You're here and there. You just can't stay in the same seat. You can't keep your mind on the same thing. You've lost your mind. You can't control your mind. You say, I want to listen. Your mind says, I don't care. I'm going. Where's my mind? Oh, it's over there. Yeah. You lost it. See, you think you're going to wait until they put you in a rubber room before you realize you've lost your mind. Now, I can prove to you, you're here and your mind is somewhere else. Now, one of you is lost. You lost your mind, friend. And don't tell me you come in here and you sit down and you focus on my time and on what I'm saying and you just keep your mind there all the way through. You haven't done that in your whole life. So now that you've lost your mind, you lose your intelligence. Intelligence means the use of the faculty of reason in solving problems. You can't reason anymore in solving problems. You have no faculty. Everyone's out to the faculty's out to lunch. See, you can't solve problems with reason anymore. You've lost your head. Intelligence means directing conduct effectively. You can't do that because you swore to God you weren't going to do that again, and you did it again. And to stop doing a certain thing and start doing something else, and then you do just the opposite. You've lost your intellect. You've lost your intelligence. You're being beheaded. You're losing your head. You're suffering capital punishment, and that capital punishment is reserved for liars and murderers. You're killing yourself, by the way. You've lost your intelligence. Intelligence also means keenness of mind. Don't tell. You may have a pointed head, but there's no sharpness there. See, keenness means sharp. You have no keenness of mind. I've been explaining the same thing to you ever since I met you, and you still don't have it. You cannot have a keen mind. We couldn't slice butter in the oven with your mind. Your mind wouldn't slice water. To say you're dull is to put it, you know, mildly. You're dull. Blunt. You just have no keenness of mind. But now it's going to start manifesting physically. It's been mental up to this point and spiritual. Now capital punishment or losing your head means to lose one's aptitude. Aptitude means a natural ability or talent. Things don't function the way they used to anymore, do they? You don't have that natural ability anymore. You used to be able to get up in the morning and bounce back from your adversity. Not anymore. To
takes 3, 4, 5 days. You don't have no aptitude anymore. Aptitude also means quickness to learn and quickness to understand. Can you see how Satan is shutting down your mind in blackness? And you get harder and harder to teach. It's harder and harder for you to learn. It's harder and harder for you to understand. Not harder that you're losing your ability to comprehend. Your quickness, it takes a long time. Real long time. So you see, you've lost the aptitude. It now takes forever and a day to teach you what you used to learn like that. Why? Because you're losing your head. And the more you lose your head, the more you look for another one. And isn't it amazing what drug addicts call their pushers? Their head, right? No accident. So you see now in this process of losing your head, of suffering capital punishment, of suffering the cross, you've lost your aptitude. You used to have a natural ability and talent to love your children and take care of them and enjoy your family, enjoy life, enjoy your work. That's a natural ability, a natural talent that God gave you. You ain't got it no more. The most enjoyable thing you do is sleep. Well, why do you enjoy sleeping so much? Only time of your day you don't have to put up with you. See, if the problem was everybody else, just go somewhere by yourself. But you like sleeping. It's the only way to escape from you. And people, that you sleep more and more and rest less and less. Well, why are you always sleepy? You're trying to escape from your worst enemy, you. You've lost your natural ability and your natural talents. Remember how you used to love to hear about the Lord and you love the truth when we first began this? You've lost that ability and talent. See, Satan is shutting down your mind because you're guilty of a crime you don't want to confess. You're guilty of something you don't want to know. And the Lord is showing you, look, you're suffering the penalty then. And prior to this, it was all mental, but now it's becoming an aptitude. You're losing natural abilities and natural talents. Things that you need yet are going to start falling out. You're going to lose them. I'm convinced that's why people age long before the process would dictate. They're losing a natural ability and talent to regenerate themselves. Your cells are regenerating, coming in as stupid as you are. See, they have to come back in harmony with your mind. And if your mind was vigorous and quick and alive and fed and full of light, so would the cells that you regenerate. But your cells come in like your mind, saggy and poopy. I'm not surprised you don't move too good anymore, droopy. Saggy, poopy, and droopy, the three stooges. And here comes the killer. The last part, this is when your head is gone. It means to lose one's ability. Ability means the power to do something mental or physical. You realize what that says? When you lose the power to do anything that's mental or physical, what does that mean? You're dead. You know what that means now? You're fertilizer for the geraniums. You're carnation manure now. Rose food. They put you in a box somewhere so that you can rot. Oh, what an end for someone who was innocent. Who did nothing wrong. And what's it? I don't remember. I don't have a sound thought. I have lost my reason. I've lost my memory.
I've lost my imagination. I've lost my mind. I've lost my intelligence. I've lost my aptitude and ability. But I'm right. When you get to heaven, and you will, you'd have the right to say, Jesus, get off of that throne. I was right all along, and look what happened. You let me suffer capital punishment. So what is this saying? Saying every time you lose your head, every time you get angry and emotional and lose your reason, that just, you might as well put up a sign that says, guilty as charged. Or God's the liar. See, what he's saying is Simon, the one who hears intelligently, wants to lift this off of you. But no, you'd rather do it this way. And still claim that you're right, by the way. So what is this all talking about? It says, the minute you get emotional, the minute you lose your reason, your memory, imagination, mind, intelligence, aptitude, and ability, you're wrong. You're guilty of the very thing you're defending against. And what you're doing is you're relying on the criminal to make the assessment. Would you be surprised if I sent you to San Quentin Prison and you were invested with the ability and the key to let out anybody that says, I don't remember doing that? Would you be surprised if the joint was empty in about 10 minutes? Well, what happened? Were they all put there illegally? No, they're suffering capital punishment, aren't they? But they're not the ones I'm concerned about. They've lost their ability. They've lost their freedom. Or they're still breathing, but they're dead. They're dead to their families. They're dead to their freedoms. They're dead. And how did it all start? They lost their head. They suffered capital punishment. They suffered the penalty for their crime. Instead of letting Simon, who passed him by, coming out of the country, who fathers Alexander and Rufus, lift that cross and say, the minute you admit it, it's gone. And because you refuse to do that and you deny it instead, you bear the mark of the beast, the mark of the cross. That cross came from Satan. It wasn't Jesus' idea. And you know the interesting thing about cross, you can always tell people who are bearing their own cross. Cross means two lines or points that intersect in opposite directions. So you don't agree even with yourself. It's bad enough you're cross, then you try to get me and you want a double cross. And what has happened? Keep this message in mind. If you are suffering capital punishment, it's because you're guilty. Not guilty of the sin, because we're all guilty of the sin. You know what you're guilty of? Lying about it. That's what your guilt is. Now, you know, the irony of this whole thing is that you think it's the sin or the crime that's killing you. And it isn't, because if that were true, we'd all be dead. We're all guilty of sin. Every single one of us. So it isn't committing of the crime that's the problem. If it was the problem, we'd all be gone. Those that have the problem, it's plain and simple. You just don't want to know about it. You don't want the truth. You would rather suffer capital punishment. You would rather lose all of these things. And I'm telling you something, the Bible says that Satan is the thief and the murderer, and he comes to lie, cheat, and destroy. And you think God's doing that to you?
Friend, if you're losing things, it ought to be time you start realizing you serve a fallen devil, not a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is no thief. Jesus gives. And if you're losing, you're on the wrong side of the cross. And every time Simon passes by, you look the other way. Because you won't accept him for what he's called to do. He's called a father, an Alexander, and a Rufus. And you're not buying that. And he's called to bear, to lift your cross, and you don't want to admit you have one. While you're denying it, you're suffering clearly all of the manifestations of capital punishment. And that becomes your defense. Just like the world now. The strongest defense, the only defense you can have anymore, is insanity. I lost my head. Killed my wife, all 28 kids, grandma, shot Santa Claus. Just lost my mind. Lost my head temporarily. Temporarily. Would you say the sum total of your life up to this point is temporary?
Yeah.
You've always been crazy. We really have to get together with the dictionary, and I have to tell you and show you what temporary means. Yeah. Temporary may be in relation to the mountains and the hills, but in relation to your life, I would say being crazy all your life is not temporary. Everywhere you go, you suffer this. Capital punishment is for criminals, for unconfessed criminals. I thank God that capital punishment isn't for criminals. You know, if someone told you, you can go rob this bank anytime you want over there, as long as you confess afterwards. And we'll forgive you. Let you keep the money. Just confess afterwards. And we'll even leave the door unlocked for you. And the vault. I'd go. And then if the police were waiting outside and say, okay, all you thieves, come on out of there. All right, now, all of you that admit you stole the money, you can leave. The rest of you that don't want to admit it, and you got bills in all your wallet and pockets, you are going to prison. There are some of you idiots in this room that would say, not me. I don't remember. I don't know where I'm. And you'd rather go to prison than admit you did it, and you're caught in there. And that's the only thing that separates us, by the way, because we're all criminals. And again, you're not suffering because you robbed the bank. You're suffering because you denied robbing it and blaming someone else, a brother and a sister. Shame, shame, shame. Besides being stupid, you know why? Because it's totally unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. Nobody but Jesus Christ, me and you, gives a damn what you did. Nobody but Jesus Christ, me and you, cares whether you're ever going to be free from this. Got a hot flash for you. This world doesn't revolve around you. That's a profound thought that I want you to roll around in the chambers of your mind. The next time you go to your secret throne room to contemplate the world and its situation. As you enter this environment of the cave of the winds, try to think clearly about your decisions. And when you make your mandates, O royal one, keep one thing in mind. Your record and your throne room stink. Brother Don, would you close the service in prayer?